It's the end of summer, and that means the new television season is coming up. Historically, minorities haven't had many chances to see themselves depicted on screen. Some shows are adding more color to their casts, and racially diverse programs like Lost, Heroes, and Grey's Anatomy are drawing huge audiences. A recent report from the Baltimore Sun shows that black viewers and general audiences who watched different shows for years are now largely watching the same programs. In a moment, we'll talk with Todd Boyd. He's a professor of popular culture and critical studies at the University of Southern California. But first, we're joined by Karen Narasaki, the chair of the Asian Pacific American Media Coalition. Thanks, Karen, for joining us.
Thank you.
Why does it matter whether television is racially and ethnically diverse?
Oh, it's very important for television to reflect society for several reasons. One is it's about employment opportunities. It's a vast industry, and if minorities are not getting an opportunity to work both in front of as well as behind the camera, then they're being shut out of a major sector of our economy. But the second reason is because the popular media does so much to shape what Americans think about people who are different than them. It's often the place where they learn about how other people are. And if it's full of stereotypes or if whole communities are totally absent, then people walk away with a completely incorrect picture of what America really is looking like today.
Nielsen is using a new system to measure ratings now, using more precise demographics. So we don't know if there's really a change or just better data. Has this new rating system told you anything more about the viewing habits of Asian Pacific Americans?
Well, Nielsen has traditionally not collected sufficient data to really look at what Asian Americans are viewing, but I'm happy to say we've actually been working with them. The Asian American Justice Center, which I'm president of, is part of their advisory council, and they're really doing a lot to improve their research methodology, particularly to reach out to immigrant viewers whose English may not be their first language. So we're actually expecting to get some reports in the near future about what Asian Americans are watching. I think, though, it's not really the methodology that is resulting in these different results in terms of what viewers are watching. You have the advent of reality shows. And the reality shows, particularly recently, have done a much better job of being inclusive than even a lot of the scripted shows.
Why do you think that is?
I think because they actually recruit, and for reality TV to be interesting, the more diversity there is in terms of the voices and perspectives, the better the show is going to be. 10 years ago, the question in network rooms were, what would the average family of Iowa watch? And they become much more sophisticated about the changing demographics and who their audience is really becoming. And in order to keep that audience, the fact that they really do need to change the look and feel of their shows.
You're in Los Angeles now meeting with TV executives to talk about improving Asian Pacific American representation in the television business. What are you telling them and what are you hearing?
Well, we're applauding some of the advances that have been made. You know, there are some breakout characters like Masioka, who's in Heroes, and the Korean couple in Lost, and, of course, Sandra Oh's character in Grey's Anatomy. That's very exciting. The challenge has been really not so much in those large ensemble shows, but in the half-hour situation comedies, which tend to be based more around families. And those shows tend to be very one race. It's generally white, but also you do have some African-American and some Latino-themed shows. And we've yet to see an Asian-American themed show in the last decade.
Do you have an idea that you think would exemplify what you think would be best of a show that really is doing it well?
Well, in terms of the one-hour formats, I think, you know, Grey's Anatomy is doing it superbly. Of course, the showrunner is African-American. The cast is extremely talented. The writers are diverse as well. And I think it leads to a show that feels real, that resonates because it doesn't feel artificial. And, you know, with the Census Bureau having recently announced that you now have 1 in 10 counties in the U.S. that now have a majority-minority population, it really has been the case that the more diverse the shows are, the more successful they generally are with audiences.
Is there a show that you'd like to see that maybe doesn't exist now, or do you think more Grey's Anatomy, if you will, would be good?
Well, I'd like to see more up-to-date families. I mean, you know, there are now more single-parent or blended divorced families on television, but you've yet to see sort of the mixed-race families, for example, that are becoming more and more the norm in the United States. I'd like to see more Asian Americans who, like Sandra Oh's character, who is an Asian American. And we do think there are some missed opportunities in a lot of these shows that are theoretically based in New York or Los Angeles, but not really showing the very vibrant Asian American community, and tending not to show Asian Americans as having families. Most of the time, if you see an Asian American on a show, there's only one. You know, so you don't really get a sense of what the Asian American community might be like.
Karen Narasaki, chair of the Asian Pacific American Media Coalition. Thank you, Karen, very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Now we turn to Todd Boyd. He's a professor of popular culture and critical studies at the University of Southern California. He joins us from NPR West. Welcome, Professor Boyd.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Does the report from the Baltimore Sun about black viewing habits surprise you, the fact that now 8 out of 10 programs are being watched by blacks and general audiences, opposed to 10 years ago when it was just the one program, Monday Night Football?
Well, in 10 years' time, quite a bit has changed in terms of the landscape of television. Increasingly, we're talking about satellite, HBO, places like this. In addition to the influence of the internet, so people's viewing habits have changed. The content of what's on television has changed. One of the biggest, I think, differences between now and 10 years ago is the prevalence of the reality program or some other sort of, you know, contest show like American Idol, for instance, where people would call in. And 10 years ago, we were talking about dramas and sitcoms almost exclusively. So when you factor in the changes in the type of programming, the changes in the various networks and their approach, it would make sense that when someone would do a survey that it would indicate perhaps some changes in viewership also.
Is this really a change or just better data?
I think what people are trying to determine from these numbers is really a bit influenced by the way the numbers are gathered. I think the approach is a bit dated itself.
What are the networks doing wrong and what are they doing right?
Well, I guess it depends on whose perspective you're talking about. The network's interested in one thing, and that's making money.
What are you watching?
What am I watching?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if what I'm watching is necessarily relevant to what those numbers would indicate. I don't watch American Idol. I don't watch Dancing with the Stars, and these were two of the shows that were very prominent on that list. I also don't watch CSI. My viewing habits are very specific. I watch PBS. I watch the NewsHour. I watch Frontline. Obviously, I watch ESPN and I watch hip-hop videos, amongst many other things.
Nielsen doesn't know about you.
They know about me, but they want to act as though I don't exist.
Todd Boyd, professor of popular culture and critical studies at USC. Thank you.
Thank you.